It is my great pleasure always to have friends in the studio with me, and I happen to have a large number of extremely talented and intelligent friends in a variety of fields. Brett Johnson is an interior designer and the owner of Main Street Design Company based in Portland, and a friend of mine for several years. Thanks so much for coming in and talking to us today.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
Brett, we're going to talk about a healthy home. And by healthy, I mean healthy, aesthetically pleasing, and creating an environment that we want to live in. But first, I want to know how you decided to stay here in Maine. You grew up in Maine. You live in Maine. Why Maine? And how does that contribute to your sense of aesthetics and style?
I was born in Maine and fortunately was blessed with being born into a family with a father who had wanderlust and really wanted to travel and see different places. So as a small kid, we kept moving away from Maine, and then we'd experience where we were, and then we'd come back again. And then eventually we came back home. And then as I matured and sort of started coming into my own, I also found myself wanting to go to the big city or go to Miami or the Caribbean or do some traveling. But for some reason, just Maine always like called me home. And for one reason or another, it always seemed to always be there. And was this amazing anchor. So I guess this time around, it's hard to say because I actually have been home in Maine for, gosh, maybe 20 years or 25 years since I last went away on a fact-finding mission or a foray of living a different life. Probably had a lot to do with the fact that I found somebody to share my life with who also wanted to be here. So that was a big turning point as well. But Maine is really all about, for me, it's all about family and it's all about friends and all about a way of life that I just have never really found anywhere else. Amazing sense of community and I find it as a place extremely nurturing.
So it sounds like there's just a bit of a gestalt to Maine that has kept you centered here.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, I find it fascinating. I'm from Harpswell. My grandparents are from Bailey Island. I grew up on Oars Island. And coming back now and creating this amazing house that we have on Bailey Island, and talking to other folks who have kind of had the same circumstances as I have, where they've gone away and come back, there's almost energy that exists, and no one can really put their finger on what it is, whether it's a life force or a magnetic pull or something. And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the natural beauty in our surroundings, and probably a sense of knowing who your neighbors are and knowing that you'll always be taken care of. But it's a really amazing pull, and it's one that I personally choose not to fight.
And you are able to experience Maine. I know that you now live in, we'll call them the suburbs. I live there too. I don't want to out your town unless you're willing to out your town. But you're developing, you have a beautiful little house with what you call the back 40, mm-hmm. Nice big backyard and gardens, and you've done a lot of work on your house. And you also get to work here in Portland. And it's a very kind of urban place that your office is right on Congress Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's your, I guess it's your showroom more.
Yeah, it's a studio.
The studio across from Local 188.
Right.
So you get to experience the Harpswell, go back to the family, and mm-hmm. Go back to the big house that your family actually rents out now. Mm-hmm. You get to experience the suburban back 40, you get to experience Portland, and there seems to be a bit of a flavor to each of those.
There absolutely is. My partner Tim and I lived in Portland together in multiple places. We kind of experimented with different ways to live in a couple condos, some apartments. We moved way out into the country of Dayton, Maine for a little while. We found that was a little more remote than we liked. And what we really came to was that we really wanted to find a place that we could call more or less our forever home. And we had some very clear objectives when we did that, when we were looking. We sold our condo that had shared outdoor space and where your neighbors may or may not have been a little too close for comfort. And we kind of drew a big giant circle around Portland and said, you know, can we afford to live in Portland? Can we get what we're looking for in Portland? And it actually turned out to be kind of a resounding no. It was, we needed a little bit more land. We needed a little bit more elbow room, and we needed a little bit more of the privacy that that allowed. So we fell upon Yarmouth, and we love it. I mean, I never thought of myself as living in quote unquote suburbia. And I imagine a lot of my friends in Yarmouth might actually hate the term suburbia, but for someone who has lived in Portland for a long time, it does feel a little bit like that. But yeah, we found this sweet little house, and built in 1961 in a pretty good neighborhood and with a lot of a yard. And I am an interior designer by trade, but I'm finding myself more and more being called to working in the garden. That's sort of where I find my solace. So it's been a great fit. And then on occasion, I get to go to Bailey Island as well.
So it sounds like wherever you are, you work with the spaces you find, whether they're inside or outside or on the water. You are able to kind of take in the context and then move with it.
Absolutely. That's always been in my nature, whether it was my childhood bedroom growing up, or a temporary apartment in college, or the corner of apartment I shared in New York City, or you know, any place. It's really important for me personally, and I think my clients as well, to surround themselves with things that are meaningful to them, and really and find a way to put those things in place in a meaningful, sensible, organized way. And that's certainly what we endeavor to do in our own home.
The houses that I've been in that you have done design for, it seems everything is very mindfully placed, and there's a spareness and yet an elegance to the way that you create. So it's almost as if you are bringing things like light into the design, so that you don't have to, it doesn't have to be frou-frou, it doesn't have to be ornate. You are able to work with what naturally happens over the course of a day in the house itself.
That's right. I almost always, walking into a client's house, have this sense of, My immediate sense is, why am I here? This is a lovely home. You are lovely people, and you're doing just fine. And then upon listening to people, you realize that there are some things about how they've been able to kind of put their homes together that kind of bother them, and so they kind of need to get unstuck a little bit. Once that process is, or once that step has been taken, where you realize that there is something that I can actually do for them, a way that I can help them, I actually look outward to where they are, out the windows, and look at the light and look at what is nature around them, whether they live in the city of Portland and they have a more urban landscape, or if they live on the ocean and that's their light and that's their color. And then I find a way to kind of curate what they have, and then also bring things in a mindful way, to kind of almost create a comfortable backdrop for them to live their lives. I think a lot of people way over indulge, and that may have more to do with our consumer culture than anything, but they don't really know how to edit and remove the clutter. And that, by no stretch of the imagination am I a clutter-free human being. If anyone looked at my desk at work, they would know that. But it's something that I work really hard to do. And you can't live in a place like Maine, and you can't work in a place like Maine and not pay attention to what's going on around you. It would be a big loss of an opportunity, I think.
What are the ways, or some of the ways in which people get stuck? When do people, I mean, obviously if somebody moves into a new house, or they're downsizing, these are some ways that people might need design advice, but what are some of the other ways that you've seen that people get stuck? When do people call you? Is it during other transitions in their lives?
I don't really know if it's other transitions in their lives. I mean, certainly we have things that happen that bring about a necessity for a change of environment, whether you're staying in your current place or you're moving into another. I mean, there are all those sort of life changes, whether you're changing partners or you're having children, or your children are leaving and going to college. And actually there is this sort of tendency with a lot of my clients now that are becoming empty nesters, and the big question of whether or not they're going to maintain their family home for their kids to come home to, or as a lot of people I know are and work with are in that situation, are they're like, heck no, we're gonna downsize and we're gonna live within our personal means, and the, you know, the kids can fit in wherever they want, but they've done their job. So, and then a lot of clients I have who are older, who are moving into from big ginormous homes or nicer homes, whose kids are all very grown up, they have grandchildren, and they're actually in a place where they need to really downsize, and they move into a condo. And then I find there's this kind of lovely process with folks like that. That's actually a really good, nice process of kind of honoring the things that they have that belong to their family, or things that have memories that they can take with them into their new space, and then kind of help them lighten their load so that they can live their lives in a more gentle way as they move along in their old age. I don't actually like the term old age, because most old people I know aren't really old. as we all know, as we get older, it's not as difficult as all that.
I'm listening to this and I'm thinking about conversations that I've had with people in the real estate field, and talking about how it can become very interesting to work with kind of the psychological issues surrounding finding a new home, moving to a new place, whether it's getting a new partner, leaving an old partner, having to deal with the grief of somebody dying, or the child that's leaving. When you are working with people and they're going through their stuff and you're curating their things with them and you're helping them declutter, are there emotional issues that arise?
I think there are always emotions, and it's and oftentimes you can tell a lot about a person by how emotional they are to their things or what their ties to those things are. My partner is a psychiatrist, and he is oft to say that I do more therapy than he does. And I would say that that's probably true, although I'm not necessarily qualified to admit that. I do find myself in a position where I have to gently counsel people and help them work their way through that process. And it's actually kind of lovely and super nice. It seems a lot of people aren't so gentle, and for me it's more about the process and making sure that that no matter where they are today, they know that they want to get through this process, and that there's this real nice way of handling that where you can just kind of gently move them through the process, manage their expectations, and within reason help them kind of navigate the tricky stuff. And sometimes it's a little trickier when there's a couple or their partners that don't necessarily see eye to eye on every single issue. But in general, when you listen and you pay attention, then you realize that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and a lot of people feel really good about that in the end.
It seems as though, and I don't know if this is true of all interior designers, but in your case, it seems as though you have built long-lasting relationships with the people that you have worked with. I know that there was a family recently that lost a father, husband, son very tragically, very suddenly, and very early. Mm-hmm. And because you were already part of this group, you were able to also be part of that process mm-hmm. with them.
Yep.
Is this as important to you as the design itself?
That was an extreme situation. In reflecting on it after the fact, I was extremely honored and continue to be honored to be an ongoing part of this family's life. And those are relationships that are extremely important to me. I don't think there has ever been a client who I've even at the very beginning of the relationship have ever not said, this is less about this job and this task. It's more about how we have a relationship with each other and how I can help you going forward. And that may be a 6-month process. It might be an afternoon at my studio. It might be lifelong, but traditionally they last a long time. And that's a really good thing. And some of them are extremely good friends. Some of them were already good friends before I had a business relationship with them. But I think that's every bit as important as the end product and the actual design process. I think it's a big.
As we're talking, it really strikes me that when you're doing design, it's less about the things and it's more about the energy, and it's more about, I mean, obviously you need to have colors and shapes and all of the things that make up a space or to accent a space, or I know I'm saying this inelegantly because I'm a doctor and I don't have that much background in your field, but it really is about trying to get the energies of all of the things that you put into or take out of to work together in the same way that you're trying to get the energies to match up with the people that live in that space and the outside of that space. So it's sort of trying to have things settle in the right way.
I'm not a big practitioner of feng shui because I think that feng shui probably happens and probably evolved through mindful exploration by a particular culture of exactly what I strive to do as a designer, but it's kind of a natural place for people to go to search for kind of an outline of how to make that happen. I personally like to think that somehow I have a gift. I don't know how I got the gift, whether I obtained it or it was given to me or whatever that is. And as I get older, I get less afraid of losing it. Although it early on in my career, when I was less sure of myself, I was very petrified that I would lose it. Because then I would have to find something else to do, and that would be kind of scary. But to get really back to the question, I think it really is ultimately most important. You go to kind of the shaker mentality of a way of life, and you say form follows function, and I think beauty follows function as well. And as I mature and become more established and see more things, I find myself becoming more and more spare. I think it's really, really great when you can create big beauty with very little. And it's probably not the best sales and marketing plan, but if I can keep it going and it keeps working, then there'll always be a reward in the end.
Brett, after listening to our conversation, I'm sure people will want to learn more about your business, Main Street Design Company, based here in Portland. How can people do that?
They can visit our website at www.mainstreetdesign.com, and that's Main with an E, Street and Design all spelled out. And our studio is open by appointment at 688 Congress Street in Portland. As I like to say, at the edge of the Arts District and surrounded by great restaurants, so you can come visit us and go have some yummy food somewhere.
And people can also see your work in Maine Home Design, because I know that they are the editorial staff with Maine Home Design, big fans of yours and the work that you do, so you've been featured multiple times over the course of the years.
I have. I'm very very blessed that that the magazines continue to like my work and like to feature that, and at this point I feel like a nice part of the family.
Well, I appreciate your coming in and talking to me about the work that you do, and I'm sure that the people whose lives you have touched on multiple different levels are also appreciative. So thank you, Brett, for coming in today.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.